Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And before I start, I want to make you aware of something I hope you'll be a part of. And I talked about it, and it's not too late. Reading through the New Testament in a year. I have some more of these sheets that have a record for you to know where you are. Our men will meet tomorrow night, and tomorrow night the men are supposed to have been read the entire book of Mark, but they are also supposed to be done with Acts chapter 3 by tomorrow night. And one of the things that I find so encouraging is that when you get to reading the same thing, not everybody it doesn't speak to everybody the same way, and yet it does speak. And I found a study this last week that was done by the Center for Bible Engagement. And here's what they said. They found that reading or listening to the Bible at least four times a week shows profound statistical difference from those who do so less often. A lack of scriptural engagement produces several consequences. Disengagement from God's Word has left American believers ignorant of basic Bible facts and truths, vulnerable to false teachings, and in many cases, spiritually immature. As our research has demonstrated, those who read the Bible at least four times a week are less likely to engage in behaviors such as gambling, pornography, getting drunk, and sex outside of marriage. And you know, one of the things they found in this study is if people get into God's Word and they begin to live it, it changes the way they live. And, you know, it's important that you get into God's Word so it can get into your life. And that's the whole point of reading Scripture is we claim to be a different kind of people. We claim to be people of the book, and yet so often our lives are not very different than anybody else. And just listening to a sermon once a week or a Bible study on Wednesday night is not enough. You see, Scripture is that powerful tool that God uses to encourage us, to convict us, to teach us truth. It is just an awesome thing. So if you haven't done that on that back table, you can pick it up. It has the date and where you should be reading, and I hope that you'll join us in this journey. It's not too hard, and I hope that you will join us for that. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're almost done. And remember, in the very beginning, I said that the book of Ecclesiastes reads like a journal. King Solomon is the author, and he's describing his life, his attempt to try to find joy and happiness without God. And it's a gigantic experiment that doesn't go very well. And in the next two chapters, basically, he's coming to the end of his life, and he is saying, hey, this is the way you finish out. This is the way you finish your life on earth. And he's giving us some, I think, some very practical advice. But this morning is so incredibly relevant and practical. And you see, my responsibility as a pastor is to read God's Word and for it to give directions for the church, but also for us as individuals about how to live now. I can't really tell you how to live in heaven because we're not there yet, but I can tell you what God's Word says about living now. And so in chapter 11, he's addressing uncertain times. And I think every single one of us would say that we're living in uncertain times. Now, a couple things I want to point out to you before we start with verse 1 is that he has already established some truths that we need to understand. And in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 3, he puts it this way. There is nothing ahead but death anyway. One of the conclusions that King Solomon came to that you and I need to get, we really do need to get this, folks, is that every single one of us will die. I mean, that's it. You said, Bill, that's so gruesome. It's the truth. You've got to get a hold of that. That was what he told us all through the book, but specifically in verse 3, he said, there's nothing ahead but death anyway. Doesn't matter if you're the smartest guy in the world or the foolish guy in the world. Death awaits you. And then in verse 12 of that same chapter, he said this, people can never predict when hard times might come. Like fish in a net or birds in a trap, people are caught by sudden tragedy. So not only does he say that death awaits us all, but he also says you can't even predict when you're going to have a good day or a bad day. And just, doesn't it happen just when you think you got it all figured out, you get slapped? Now, you know, life's not that easy. At least that's the way it is in my life. But then we get to chapter 11. And chapter 11 tells us how to live in uncertain times. Let me give you an example that I had this week of how uncertain the times are. Many of you probably have heard of a guy named Ed Young Sr. He's a pastor at Second Baptist Houston. They have 20-something thousand on Sunday mornings. And he has a son that's pastor in Grapevine, Texas, named Ed Young Jr., who I've listened to. And he's got a big church in Grapevine. And this week had just an incredibly unfortunate tragedy. Ed and his wife had a daughter named Lee Beth. She was 34 years old. She was very attractive, very godly. She was single, had a job, a very productive church member and Christian. And either on Monday or Tuesday, went over to her parents' house, which is a good thing if you're a parent, you like your kids coming to see you, 34, and dies. And dies. Not of COVID, not of police brutality, she died. My sister used to work at Second Baptist and has friends who are on staff there, and it was such a tragic thing. My heart just, I have kids that are almost that age. My heart just went out, what happened? What happened? What happened? And my sister, who knows people and goes to that church of the grandfather in Houston, said this, that basically what she had happened, she felt great, went to her parents' house, had a grand mal seizure, and they resuscitated her, but she eventually died. No history of seizures, no history of problems, but she died. Life is uncertain. And that's reality. And we need to understand that this passage tells us how to live in uncertain times, like the times of that young lady. So let's listen, beginning in verse 1. Listen to it. Send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. But divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risk lie ahead. When clouds are heavy, the rains come down. When a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind, or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. Plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. This passage is incredibly relevant and practical for you and me this morning. We don't know it, but we may be coming to the end of our lives. But how do you live with such uncertainty? I mean, we have riots to worry about. We have political change to worry about. We have COVID to worry about. We have now COVID vaccines to worry about. We have impeachment to worry about. I mean, there's a million different things in our world today that are uncertain, but there's only one thing that is certain, and that's God and His Word. And the things, I've been so excited about this passage of Scripture because I can't take it to mean anything other than what it means, and it's this, the very first point. I absolutely love and could stay all day on this one point, and it's this. Be adventurous. I almost gave it this title. Take wise risk. Be adventurous. Take wise risk. Let me give you a quote I want you to chew on. I want you to think about. And it has a lot of truth to it. It's a quote by Mark Patterson, and I've quoted it multiple times. And it says this. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. You get that? Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. It's kind of a crazy statement, but there's a lot of truth. You're going to die. And so many of us, the whole point of living is to get there safely, to die. Which is kind of violent when you think about it. Oh, I haven't done much in my life. I've been safe, but I die. I'm not mocking death. I'm not wanting to. I'm just saying, I don't think the goal in life is to arrive safely at death. It doesn't make sense to me. You see, the problem is with the passing of time as Christians, if we're not careful, here's what happened. We get into ruts. Our lives get into ruts. There's a sign in Alaska on the Alaskan Highway that says this, choose your rut carefully, you'll be in it for the next 200 miles. But we get into ruts as churches. We play church. We do it the same way on Wednesdays and Sundays. We play Christian with our lives. You know, you go to this, you do that, you do this. And the problem is we get in ruts. And this scripture screams out, quit playing safe. Quit getting in a rut. This morning, I don't know about your life. Maybe you've lost the joy, the excitement of living for Christ. Maybe you're in a rut. We're just going and doing. Don't live as a rut. As a pastor, I don't want to go back to the good old days. I want to live in the new days the way God wants us to live. Yeah, I'd like the COVID thing to go away. But folks, what if it doesn't? Are we going to quit living and say, well, we're just going to... Now they tell us we got one out there that could kill us faster. Whether that's true, I don't know. But here's what I do know. We're all going to die. Every single one in this room is going to die of something. So how do you live? How have you... Have you lost your adventurous spirit? Maybe the point of this pandemic is to get us out of our ruts. I mean, my goodness, we're in a gym. You know, we kind of made do the best we could. Maybe God's saying, get out of your rut. Try something different. Are you playing it safe? Are you just trying to die safely? Which, again, that just makes no sense to me. Listen to the scripture, though. In the New Living Translation is the best translation of this verse, it says, "Send your grain across the seas, and in time prophets will flow back to you." The English Standard Version is the one that I'm more familiar with. It says the same thing. There was a song by the Imperials in the, I think, the 70s or 80s called "Cast Your Bread Upon the Water." I listened to it yesterday. I love it, you know, that song. Julie told me it's too old, but anyway, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." The Message paraphrase says, "Be generous, invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns." The point of these verses is to be adventurous. Verse 1 is actually an ancient or Arabic proverb, and basically we are commanded to be adventurous with our lives and our finances. Instead of protecting yourself, release yourself, cast your bread upon the water. Because here's the thing, you need to think about it. What is he trying to say here? If you were in the grain, okay, let's take Bob over here. He's in the elderberry business. I'm gonna get practical. Okay, Bob has an elderberry farm. He harvests the elderberries and he has them in his freezer. The only way that Bob can make money, profit, is to take them to the people who will pay money. But Bob could say, "I might die in a car wreck going to California or Washington or New York or wherever he goes." They're never Dallas or Little Rock. It's always way off somewhere. But you know what Bob's doing when he takes those elderberries? He's casting his bread on the water. Because he knows if he gets there, there's profit. He doesn't go because he thinks there's no profit. He goes because there's, and it takes risk. In the day that Solomon is writing this, think about it. If you sent your grain ships to another country, you had to worry about pirates. You have to worry about storms. You have to worry about your ship breaking down. I mean, there's a million different things, mold, that could ruin the potential profit you might have. But here's the one thing I know for sure. If they keep the ships at home, they get nothing. If Bob keeps the elderberries in the freezer, it does him absolutely no good. So what does he have to do? He has to release it. And one of the things he's saying to us as believers, yes, we live in certain times. Matter of fact, every one of us are going to die. It's already told us that. Yes, we don't know when tragedy is going to come. But you can't live a life of, "I can't do because I might this." That young lady, 34 years old, didn't die of COVID. She died of a seizure. Thank goodness she went and saw her mom and dad. She could have used the other. I mean, do you kind of? I'm not wanting to say if you've got health conditions, you shouldn't try to take care of yourself. You should. But for us, there's always risk involved when you seek to live for the Lord. When you release yourself, when you release your fight, the only way you get spiritual dividends is to invest in people. And to give your money to people and to invest in human beings that breathe. That is casting your bread upon the water. And the one thing we know is if we do nothing, we will get nothing. And the same goes for church. If you do nothing, invest nothing, you get nothing. Cast your bread up. Life is full of risk. Be willing to risk in order to gain. be willing to risk in order to give glory to God. Let me just tell you this. Some people won't fly on an airplane. They're scared to death they might die in a crash. I understand that. I'm not a big fan of airplanes. But do you know 1 in 103 people die in a car wreck? And 1 in 4,060 die in a bike accident. And 1 in 11 million die in a plane accident. But you still drive places. You still ride a bike if you have a bike. But you won't fly a plane? Come on, people. You can die walking across the street. Don't be foolish. Be wise. But understand that one of the things we need to understand as believers is we need to be adventurous. Jesus did not say, follow me, play it safe until you die. He said, follow me, be willing to die. Pick up your cross. I mean, do you see the absurdity of... I understand their risk. But I think verse 1 is calling us to be adventurous. To live bullish. Don't always play it safe. Live a little. Get out of your comfort zone for Jesus Christ. He didn't say arrive safely at death. You know, you say, well, I'm going to play it safe with me. Maybe what you need to do is go on a mission trip, get on a plane, go overseas when we get to do that again. Live a little. You know, maybe you need to teach a class. Maybe you need to volunteer and do something you've never done before at church and your thing is, well, I don't know if I can do it. Take a risk. Live a little. Get out of your comfort zone. Listen to this. I believe so much. Following Jesus should never be boring, predictable, or riskless. I just don't find that in the Scripture. Now, it says, when the bread is cast on the waters, that is when a life is released to others, there is something remarkable about God's faithfulness in bringing back any number of benefits and blessings. When we risk it for Him, He blesses. When we get out of our houses in order to try to reach people, He blesses. You got to get into the giving mode instead of the receiving mode. And verse 1 is just so much about giving. It could be giving about your casting your bread upon giving to ministry. I mean, you know, don't live a stingy Christian life. I know this morning you're either a giver or a taker. You either give or you take. Giving has the blessing. Now the second part in verse 2, not the second point, but it also is cool. Very practical. It basically says, diversify your investments. He says, but divide your investments among many places, for you don't know what risks lie ahead. He didn't say quit investing. He said, diversify your investments. And basically, you know, have more than one truckload go somewhere, Bob. Diversify. And then, you know, my father-in-law does my retirement. One of the things he does is he's done really well. As a matter of fact, he did the retirement for all the guys back in my former church. There was a bunch of us. And do you know what they nicknamed him? The Godfather. They all wanted the Godfather to do their retirement, and he'd say, well, put 10% here, 30% here, 40% here, 50%, I mean. And my son does that as well. He tells me how to invest, and it's not all in the same thing. When her dad first started helping me, I was a young pastor, and I had all my money in like a savings account. It was with the worst part of what I could do is like 2% for the rest of my life. And you know, my father-in-law said, what are you doing? I said, well, I won't lose anything. And he basically said, you won't make anything either. And we let the Godfather take over, and the Godfather, he's good. I'm telling you. But he diversifies. I have a little bit here, a little bit here. It's not a, you know, basically verse 2 says, don't put all your eggs in the same basket. And churches are bad. Well, if you only have church on Sunday mornings at such and such time and Wednesday nights and we only meet. Listen, y'all remember earlier, do you know it was a year ago they found the first case of COVID in our country? Did you know that? I saw that on my thing. But we met outside. I loved it. It was kind of getting us out of that predictable way. We met out there under the trees. Now we're in a gym. Terrible acoustics. But you just do what you got to do. Keep casting. You don't quit. You diversify. Another way to look at it is as Christians, we don't just put all our work into one person. We you know, Jesus, how many people did Jesus invest in? 12, not one. And one went haywire, didn't he? One didn't pan out, but he still had 11 that did. As a church, you know, there's got to be, and we're working on this, we're working on this, we're working on this. We need as many hooks in our community trying to reach people for Christ. Pig Fest will be coming back sooner or later. I'm working with Keith and some others on trying to find ways to get our community. And you just don't do it one way in the way you've always done it, because you know what? You get what you get. And so what we see here in verse 2 is that we must seek constantly to evolve, to change, to reach. You can't do it all the same way and get the same... Well, you can do it the same way and get the same results. You know, after church that meeting with the group, the Dream Team, we're talking about how we're going to start working on the youth and the children and the adults and how we're going to change things, because you haven't even been in some of those rooms, but one of them is kind of like a dungeon. And it's productive for torturing people. It's dark and gloomy and I don't know, but God has been good. And, you know, we're going to look at that. But we've got to never lose that spirit of being an adventurous, one who takes adventures, one who is willing to risk, because if you don't, you don't gain. Second thing. Now this stuff is just good. I mean, I've waited all week. Can you tell I'm a little excited? Second one's the other thing. Don't wait for perfect conditions. Well, when things get better, we're going to start meeting as a church. There's a black pastor friend of mine I pray with every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. He's 78, and we've reconnected, and we were praying this morning. I said, Bill, I'm sick of this COVID stuff. He's preaching them this morning on the telephone. They have a speaker and everybody. He said, these people. He says, they're so full of fear. Now he's had lymphoma and he has health issues. He said, I'm over it. I don't want to hear the word anymore. So in February, they're going to start meeting in person again the first Sunday in February. But look at verses 3 and 4. When clouds are heavy, the rains come down. In other words, you can tell when it's fixing to rain, right? You can see it. And then it says, whether a tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. Isn't that the truth? You go outside and one of your trees is on the ground. You did not control it. It controlled you. The wind blew it. The wind blew it down. It went down maybe north, maybe south. But then he says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. What is he saying? He's saying, guys, don't worry about the things you can't control. Worry about the things you can control. And the only thing you can control in this room today is you. You can't control the rain. You can't control the wind. The only thing you can control is you. And if you're waiting for perfect circumstances to live for Jesus, give up, quit, stop. If you're looking for perfect circumstances to get involved in the church, just quit, because they're not going to ever be here. It's never going to be easy. And the only thing, here's the way it plays out. Don't wait. Don't say this. Don't say, someday I will believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's like Colton this morning. He either sat in the seat or he didn't. You either believe in him and give him your life or you don't. Don't say someday when it's easy, I'm going to do it, because if you follow Jesus, it's never going to be easy. Some people say, well, someday I'm going to get baptized. I placed my faith in Jesus in the fourth grade. 3 years later, I finally was immersed. I let fear keep me from getting baptized for 3 years. And the whole time during that 3 years, I kept thinking, I need to do this. Not to get saved, but I need to do this to show people that He saved me. And I kept putting it off, waiting for the perfect time, the perfect Sunday. Because you know, back then, you had to walk down the front and I was kind of shy. Here, you don't have to do that. You just walk up to me after church today and say, hey, I've accepted Christ. I'm ready to get immersed. And we'll say, okay, good. Next Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, we'll get a group of people upstairs. We'll go in there and remember what it used to look like. And we'll have a baptism and we'll be happy and it'd be done and it'd be over. But if you keep waiting for perfect time, there ain't going to be a perfect time. Let me go on the next one. Someday I will join the church. Someday I will get involved in the church. Someday I'm going to start giving. I've heard it for years and years and years and years. But here's what I do know this. If I wait for perfect conditions before I give of myself, I'll be doomed to inaction. As long as I wait, there will be no action. If we wait for perfect conditions, we'll miss real opportunities. Hey, this pandemic thing, I think, has given us perfect opportunities. We just have to say, okay, teach us, Lord. Here's the truth. If you're not careful, time is running out, and you could die before you do anything big for God. Isn't that true? She's 34. She died, but she had lived before 34. You see, procrastination, get this, procrastination and fear kill good intentions. That's the truth. Oh, someday I'm going to do this. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday. As a Baptist pastor, someday means you're not going to. And you know me, I'm not high pressure. We don't have one more verse before you can leave. No, you either do it or you don't. Ephesians 5:15 and 17 says, so be very careful how you live. Don't act like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So practical. Do something. What? I don't know. Find out what God wants you to do. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Listen to what it says. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, not just Christians, to everyone, and especially to those in the family of God. In other words, don't wait for the perfect condition is now. Now's the best day for salvation. Now's the best day to get involved, join the church. Now, now, now. Today is the best day to start reading through the Bible in a year. Well, at least to the third point. Work with urgency, verses 5 and 6. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind, isn't that the truth? You don't know if it's going to blow from the north, or unless you watch the weather, the north, south. You don't know where the wind, you can't see it. You only can see what it does. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing. You know, Kristen, it's just kind of freaky to me, her dad. She's got a baby, it's growing in her stomach, and she's growing where I can outwardly see something's going on inside her. Right? You look at a pregnant woman and something's going on. But I don't understand it. I'll even see pictures of it before it comes out. Just as we don't understand the wind, just as we don't understand a baby growing in its mother's womb, listen, he says, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all these things. And then he says, plant your seed in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or the other, or maybe both. And basically what Solomon is saying is, hey, work with urgency. Keep busy. Don't slow down. And sometimes as we get older, we slow down and we start getting ready to die safely instead of thinking, hey, he's going to come sometime. I'm going to be doing something when he gets here. He's saying, keep working. Don't just work in the morning. Work in the evening. For you don't know if profit will come from one. Just keep working. Keep doing. Time is short. Keep sowing. You know, we read in Mark about the sowing of the seed. And the thing we know, you have to sow a lot of seed because some hearts are hard and some hearts are shallow and some hearts are crowded. There's only one good soil, and so you have to do a lot of sowing to try to make a difference. But we do know when you find the right soil, you have explosive growth. It's impossible to understand the activity of God. All I know is this. You have to work, 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 do everything you can in order to reach as many people as you can before there's no time left on the clock. People want to talk about when the end of the world is coming. We don't need to be talking about when the end of the world is coming. We need to be working like it's coming. And it's Jesus told us to get busy now because we never know. Talking about it isn't going to make a difference. Trying to get as many people into the kingdom is what matters. And you see, the strange thing is God has called all of us to work. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I'm done. He says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. And here's the part you underline, circle, whatever you want to do. Always. You don't need to know Greek to know what always means. Always sit in church? No. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. Always. Why? Because time's short. We're going to die. We don't know when. It's time short. So man, get busy and sow. Get busy and work. He's saying. And then he says, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is useless. You may say, well, I worked with those kids and they just didn't listen. Hey, you don't know when later on your patient endurance doesn't lead to that kid's salvation. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago about Mr. Jennings? Mr. Jennings taught me in the 7th grade. I was the kid that threw the plaster in the fan when he wasn't looking while he was teaching the lesson and never got caught because everybody knew my parents and they were good people. Okay? After all these years, I'm 62. Whose name do I remember? Mr. Jennings. And I told you, I can't tell you a single thing he said. I just know he showed up every week and I couldn't figure out why. And you know, I was trying to get a replacement. But the thing I learned from Mr. Jennings is that he loved me. And when we get into heaven, I'm going to ask him why he didn't tell my parents, because my dad would have taken care of business had he known. You see, nothing you do for the Lord is in vain. Time is short. It's time to get to work. It's time to, hey, maybe your new 2021 motto is, I'm going to be an adventurist. I'm going to be... I'm going to not play it safe. I'm going to try to do what I... I'm not talking about being stupid. Please understand me. But listen, I've got a chance of dying in my car, but I'm still going to drive my car. I got a chance of getting the virus, going to eat out. I still go and eat out. I know I walk in that restaurant fully aware that that guy has his mask hanging below his nose, and I still eat. Why? I'm ready to risk. You know? I do know this. My mom played by all the rules to be safe, and she died. She died. I do know this too. She believed. So, live. Let's pray. Father, this morning I pray that we would live for you, that we would understand that we're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. But Lord, we can live for you. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's never sat in the chair of faith. And this morning, they don't need to do any other thing but to place their faith in what you did for them on the cross. Maybe there's someone here this morning who has accepted you as their Lord and Savior but has never been baptized, immersed. Maybe there's someone who keeps saying, someday I'm going to do this, someday I'm going to get involved, and maybe they just need to get involved. Maybe there's somebody who needs to join. I don't know. I just know that time is precious. And you call us to cast our bread upon the water, and I pray that we will do that. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.